This podcast is to help you get ready for your upcoming facelift. At your consultation, we may have discussed some medical issues that needed some cleaning up before you come see us. Perhaps you might need to see your primary care to get the labs done, the EKG, or change any of the medications that you're on regularly. And please don't save this kind of thing for the last minute. We also might have recommended that you get clearance from a cardiologist if you have pre-existing heart disease, or even to get clearance for dry eye symptoms from your ophthalmologist if you're also having blepharoplasty surgery done. Again, if you have these results and the clearances from the primary care cardiologist or ophthalmologist before your pre-op, that's very helpful. If you're also planning on having a laser procedure at the time of your facelift, it's important that you start on your skin prep. For light-skinned patients, this may be 2 to 4 weeks before their procedure, and for darker-skinned patients, it may be best to start this a few months before your procedure. Also, for the few weeks prior to your laser, you need to avoid any sun exposure. Now, before your pre-op appointment, it's a good time to read through your consents and the teaching material that we provide so that when you come into your pre-op appointment, you will already be familiar with what's going to be covered, and you can have arranged some or written down some questions that can be answered at the time of your pre-op. Now, what's going to happen at your pre-op appointment is having you sign all of your paperwork and consent forms. We may need to repeat some photographs, and I will also finalize the plan for your surgery with you. You'll get your prescriptions, and that's when you'll also pay for the surgery fees, the anesthesiologist, and the hospital fees. Now, as you're getting close to the day of surgery, if you are having a laser, remember you can stop your skin prep of the hydroquinone and the Retin-A a few days prior to your laser so that you're not overly dry. Hydrate your skin before your surgery, and that will help you to heal better. So before surgery, typically the day or two before surgery is when you really have to start planning. If you're having a laser and you have a strong history of cold sores, you may have been advised to start your Valtrex prescription 2 days before surgery. If you are not having a laser, you will not have been ordered an antiviral like the Valtrex. The day before surgery, you will start your Arnica Forte, taking two of them. Remember that you need to have nothing to eat, drink, smoke, or chew for 8 hours prior to the start time of your procedure. On the day that you come in, we want you to be squeaky clean, having showered and washed your hair with an antibacterial soap like Dial or soft soap if it's antibacterial. Following that first scrub where you're really getting in there and scrubbing your scalp, you can use your regular shampoo and conditioner afterwards so that you're not an awful static hair with a mess when you come into surgery. Also, don't wear makeup in on the day of surgery. The things you need to bring with you are your Arnica Forte, because that is not something we can get for you at the hospital. And if you do have long hair, it's good to bring like a wet comb or a brush that's easy with tangled hair, and maybe a few hair bands that you don't mind losing if we need to braid your hair or get it out of the way. I'll meet you in pre-op holding, and there we'll start making some markings on your face. Typically, they'll start your IV and give you a few medications. We'll give you Celebrex if that's indicated. Put a scopolamine patch on your arm underneath a Tegaderm, which helps for nausea. They'll put white compression stockings on and then some that inflate during surgery called SCDs. You will go home with those white stockings, and you only need to wear them until you feel like you're up moving around quite a bit. You also may get an IV dose of a steroid, and I'll warn you that this does give you sort of a flushing sensation, which is normal. And you may notice that kind of down under in the crotch area. Some people have complained of that. It should only last a few seconds. Now, after surgery, when you wake up, you have an overnight stay that allows you to stay for 23 hours from the time that you get up to the room. So if your surgery ends midday, the floor would expect you to be leaving about that same time the next day. If it ends in the evening, you can stay until the evening time. I will most likely use drains. These are about the size of a piece of spaghetti, and they will be coming in underneath the skin, in the scalp, behind your ears, travel down into the neck and up into the cheek. Based on how much these are draining, I will likely take them out the next day for women. For men, I'll often leave them until your first post-op appointment, since their drainage tends to be a little bit higher. Now, positioning is important after your facelift. We want your head elevated higher than your heart. We also want your chin to be elevated so that the angle between your chin and your neck is equal to or greater than 90 degrees. You can do this by placing extra pillows under your shoulders as compared to your head. And some people like using one of those soft travel pillows filled with the little beads because that helps to extend your chin a little bit or extend your neck. You will have multiple medications available for pain the first night after surgery. Pain after this surgery is quite variable, where some people have very, very little pain and other people will be uncomfortable. The kind of discomfort that most people complain of is a tightness in their neck and a sore throat from the breathing tube. You may have intravenous morphine that the nurse can just put right into your IV, or a shot that will keep that higher level of pain control for a few hours. Once you're taking oral medications, you'll also be continuing the Celebrex, which is a strong anti-inflammatory similar to ibuprofen, but does not cause bleeding. It is important for patients to remember that if they are taking the Celebrex, they should not be taking any additional non-steroidal like Motrin, ibuprofen, or Aleve. This medication, the Celebrex, lasts for 24 hours when you take one. If you're having a lot of pain right after surgery, it's reasonable for you to take two, one in the morning and one at night. This medication can be hard on your kidneys, so if you're over 65 years old, I would recommend that you get to a once-a-day dose as soon as possible. Additional pain medications could be plain Tylenol or also a narcotic plus Tylenol, typically Percocet or Norco, which is the new name for Vicodin. Other forms of pain control will possibly include the soft pulse, which is a magnetic pulse generator. Now, I am using this on most patients at the time of recording this podcast. And what that is, a little device that when turned on creates a magnetic field that goes around your ears and your neck. And it needs to be used consistently for approximately 7 to 8 days until the battery runs out. We have some nice ways of keeping it in place there, but if you're constantly taking it off and putting it on, it really isn't worth using. It needs to be used consistently, and I recommend that you only take it off for getting in the showers. This will markedly decrease the swelling, which decreases the pain, and patients have had a really positive response to this since I've started using it. Cold compresses are also used if you're having eye surgery, specifically on your eyes. If you're having laser, it may be across your whole face. You want to be careful of extremes of temperature. I wouldn't want ice directly on your skin, nor would I ever want anything too hot directly on your skin. But nice cold compresses, such as gauze pads, which have been soaked in an ice water bath, or some of the sort of spa gel pads, all work well. Some people also like to make their own little ice bags using ice water in the freezer, or even a favorite that I have heard are blueberries and a little bit of vodka, making a very nice slurry that won't completely freeze. If you have a very nice caretaker, you may offer to let them drink that after that has defrosted. Usually the day after surgery, I allow patients to take a shower. You will get your face in the shower. You will rinse everything off. Typically, if you've had lasering done on your skin, using a baby shampoo is great because this will likely not cause any allergic reaction or irritation. If you are using the Aquaphor on the lasered skin, unfortunately, this will be kind of in your hair, and don't even worry about it until you've transitioned off the Aquaphor. For those patients who have that do not have laser, the incisions will be located under your chin, around your ears, and behind your ears. And if you are using an antibiotic ointment such as bacitracin on the stitches that you can see 3 times a day, that will help these areas to heal. Now, remember that bleeding after a facelift can lead to a hematoma, and that can be a medical emergency. So we do everything possible to keep your blood pressure in a nice, safe range, to treat your nausea, to avoid the retching and vomiting that increases your blood pressure in your face. And we'd like you to be very cognizant of how you're moving and turning. Think of either like a book balanced on your head, or a pole that enters your head, travels down into your spine, and keeps your head in a perfectly aligned position. You should turn more at your waist, and you should remember to keep your chin slightly up. I like this type of movement for at least the first week after surgery, when the bleeding risk is highest. Now, that bleeding risk is highest in the first 24 hours, and it goes down every day. So as you're feeling better and healing, you can start with like a more aggressive range of motion. But for that first week, at least after surgery, I want you to be very careful. Now, if you've had eyelid surgery, the goal here is to prevent the eyeball from getting too dry. You can use saline drops like refresh drops or natural tears during the day, but you need something a little heavier to keep them moist all night. Some of the products that we recommend using are Genteel, Refresh PM, or Sustain. These are getting a little bit tougher to find. You may have to go more to a pharmacy to find these, but if you're having any difficulty, just talk to the pharmacist. And what we're looking for is a nighttime eye ointment. If you have stitches in your eyelids, I will likely give you a tiny little tube of a prescription eye antibiotic, or if you've had your lowers done with the incision inside the lower lid, an antibiotic plus a steroid. So I'll try to be very clear with what you should do with this prescription, and you can either take this with you and put the, if it's upper eyelids, you'll just put this gel or this ointment right on the stitches. If you've had your lower eyelids done, you'll be putting this gel inside, or this ointment inside your eyes before you go to bed at night. If you are using a prescription product that has steroids in it, we do not want you to use this for longer than 1 week. One of the names is Tobradex ophthalmic ointment. The other is Maxitrol ophthalmic ointment, or there could be a generic that you're given. So I'll be very clear at the time of your discharge what you should be doing with this tiny little tube of ophthalmic ointment. If you've had fat injections, you will likely have a little white paper tape on your abdomen somewhere where we made the small incision to harvest the fat. Now, I prefer showers rather than soaking this area in the bathtub until it's had a chance to heal. Typically, you'll have some bruising where we took the fat, but you don't really have to do anything to take care of this. Some people do like wearing a lightweight Spanx because the back pressure feels good. You can leave that little piece of HypoFix tape on your incision for about a week. You should take it off if it's getting too itchy. If you've had the fat transfer, you'll notice that your face will be quite swollen. There will be a lot of acute swelling or swelling immediately after surgery due to the trauma of surgery, but it does take approximately 3 to 4 months for the fat to partially dissolve, and it's expected that you would maintain approximately 30% of the fat that's been injected. Younger and thinner patients may have a better take, and older or heavier patients may have less take. As your swelling goes down, you will start looking more like yourself and more like a human. Your family members may be, as well as you, may be pretty alarmed with how you look right away. Usually it takes a couple of weeks for the swelling to go down so that you are looking much more normal, but it will take many, many months before you've reached your final stage. So I recommend that patients kind of pre-warn their family saying that they're not going to look quite right for probably 3 months after surgery. I equate it to sort of like a bad haircut where early on it's just not quite right, doesn't look quite good, but as time goes by, the swelling goes down, the stiffness gets better, your movement gets stronger, things start looking much, much better. If you prepare your family that it's going to be a while before you look good, you will be inundated with compliments after just a few weeks. If they have the feeling that you should look totally normal after a surgery like this and actually better than you did when you came into surgery, they will be sorely disappointed. So set the bar low so that you will have nice positive reinforcement when you start looking good. Now, there will be quite a bit of numbness and potential muscle weakness. We see the muscle weakness mostly regarding the lower lip, and this is because of tightening those muscles in the neck. So trying to frown hard and show your lower teeth can be very difficult for several months after the surgery. If it seems to be more one-sided, we may decide to put a little bit of a little bit of Botox in to help balance out your expression. You won't have your normal smile early on or your normal facial expressions, but as that Botox wears off, is usually about the same time frame that your muscles start to wake up. There also can be a lot of numbness around the ears and on the lower neck area. Every single patient is going to have numbness, but there is a possibility that you could have some permanent numbness around the lower portion of an ear if a nerve branch inside gets overly pinched or damaged. This is important if you're using hot hair care products like curling irons near your ear. You want to make sure that you don't accidentally burn these areas. Typically, the numbness in the neck skin is just going to get better month by month, and it may be over a year before you're back to your final state, and it is sometimes possible that people could have some permanent numbness in this area as well. Your first follow-up appointment is typically scheduled about 4 or 5 days after your surgery. And at this first appointment, the little blue stitches that are present in front of your ears and under your chin, and if you have any in your eyelids, will be taken out at that time. If you have also had a laser, we'll be guiding you as to what to be doing with your skincare at this time. Things that you should be looking for at home before coming back in are if you're accumulating some fluid down lower in your neck called a seroma. The dissection for the facelift goes all the way down to just above your collarbone, and the fluid that was coming out of those drains can continue to accumulate, forming almost like a soft little waterbed at the bottom of your neck. Now, this is not an emergency, but I wouldn't want you to go days and days if you're not planning on coming in to see us, letting this sit there. We can put a small needle in there and suck this fluid out. So if it is something you notice over the weekend, give us a call on Monday. We'll see when we can get you in. If this is something that you notice in the nighttime, you can absolutely wait till the next day to call. Now, a hematoma is blood that collects in this area, and it tends to be very sudden, very tense, and associated with a lot of bruising. So it is not something that is subtle, and this would be something you would need to let me know emergently if this happens, and we would need to meet back at the hospital. Now, your second follow-up is about a week after your first, and at that time, we'll be taking any stitches or staples out from your scalp and just checking to see how things are coming along. As you'll notice right after surgery, turning your head far to the sides is uncomfortable, so I don't want you driving until you feel you can comfortably look over your shoulders and see well, and also when you are off all pain medications that alter your judgment. An additional medicine like Valium is often used early on after surgery to help with muscle relaxation. So if you're taking either the Valium or the Percocet, you absolutely should not be driving. So again, our big concerns in this early healing time are your positioning, because when your chin drops down towards your chest, it can put extra stress on the skin in your neck and can even lead to what's called necrosis or breakdown of that skin if it gets too much pressure from the creases that form when you drop your chin. Hematomas are also emergencies. So if you have a hematoma that accumulates in your cheek or your neck, that's an emergency, and you need to give me a call right away, and we will likely be meeting in the emergency room at the hospital. A seroma is not an emergency, but does warrant a visit in the office within the next couple of days, where a small needle can be placed to pull this fluid out. People may also experience something called skin necrosis. With a facelift, we do a lot of undermining and some pulling, and the skin at the very distal end of the blood supply is at risk for not surviving or undergoing something called necrosis. This is actually just when skin turns into a scab. This is extremely high in smokers, which is why I do not feel comfortable performing face and neck lifts in people who do smoke. If this happens, the area will get progressively darker and more purple and will actually start to dry out. If that's the case, we'll be using some ointments and letting the area demarcate, and later we'll remove this little area of dead skin and make a decision based on where it is of how to get you to heal up as quickly as possible. This often involves either special dressings or special ointments on the skin. And typically where we might see this are small areas behind the ear, because that is under the most tension and has the least good blood supply. So I hope this has helped you to get ready for your facelift. I think everybody who is well prepared for their surgery seems to have a lot less stress. So the earlier you can start getting some things together, the better. We look forward to taking care of you after this. This typically is not a super difficult physical surgery, but emotionally it can be difficult, because it can be hard to look in the mirror and see what your face looks like early on. And sort of that loss of a lot of your social contacts that happens during the healing phase can be a little bit tough, but we're here for you to help in any way possible. And hopefully your family members will be just as eager to get you through this difficult time, so they can all be very happy with your final outcome. So thanks very much.